All right, well, welcome back. Thank you for those of you joining us today to E-commerce AI, the Revenue Revolution. And we are joined here again by Ari Khan, CEO of Bridgeline, and we are joined by our special guest, Rob Newman from CSS Commerce. So I am going to hand this over to you guys. I know there is lots to talk about.
Look at this right there. Let's grow your business together. I think that that is the right mantra. Rob, great to see you again.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ari. I appreciate it.
We are very like-minded. So, CSS Commerce, you guys have AI projects happening lately?
Yes. Actually, we are working on three at the time. They're varied and interesting, right? One is looking at how do we actually take a look at inventory and managing, you know, multiple channels, right? The real challenge there is making sure that you're not selling something you don't have and selling things that you want to, and actually optimizing the inventory, right? I think we've gotten past some of that, but just using safety stock and running around and trying to search for things is not the way to manage. Another really interesting one is we're working together, Ari, on a pharmaceutical project, and it's really more of an internal application, but being able to share information effectively inside a technical organization like pharmaceuticals is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really amazing how with, especially with large language models and some of the trend identification and predictive capabilities that they have, anything from inventory analysis and whatever, setting discounts and so forth to optimize that inventory is very attainable nowadays. And then when you get into pharma, I mean, well, there's a lot of different applications that are happening over in the pharma world.
There are. And there's a lot of need in AI to really bring out the kinds of capability that they've probably been looking for a long time. And mm-hmm. I think we're able to provide something that, you know, not only is in a large language model, but also being able, of course, to handle the proprietary features that that pharma creates around everything from formulation to process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in the B2B world, one of the challenges is that a lot of times you have long-time cultural relationships between the vendor and its customers, and it's hard to break through those. And that's where B2B has lagged B2C for a long time, because you just have huge business that is running fine, no use changing it. But I think that AI is going to bring a lot of opportunities in the B2B space, especially, and create opportunities to leapfrog past sort of these intermediate areas that you see. I'm wondering if you have any B2B customers that have been able to make any jumps past what if they take incremental steps along the way?
Well, actually, I do. And I like to call this democratizing AI, Ari. It's really about a lot of the B2B firms that I serve, right? We serve the SMB market. And we're really looking and talking about family-owned, multi-generation firms that are between $30 million and a few billion dollars, right? And the thing is that a lot of these clients do have this opportunity, as you said, to leapfrog, because as we're bringing solutions to them, they're surprised how affordable these AI features and capabilities can be, that they just assumed were for, you know, the massive $30 billion, $50 billion, $100 billion enterprises, and they are not, right? They're really about bringing forward the ability to do things way ahead of where they thought they could be. And I'll give you a couple examples, right? So one client that we're working with, right, they have extremely complex and difficult nomenclature and technical, right, point, you know, and being able to classify across a number of descriptors, a number of categories, how these things mix and create kits and create essentially blocks of information, if you will. This company has had a hard time being able to describe and let their customers find these things, right? Mm-hmm. But exposing up brass, copper, PVC, all of these various things and allowing technical capabilities to actually be combined with AI on behavior, on, you know, who the client is, their past buying references, all of these things can come together and serve the client up better and faster, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we'd both agree, right? Searching without finding is losing.
It's losing, right?
It's losing proposition. But if you're finding, right, then you're going to be buying. And that's what we've been talking to our customers about is that, you know, if you've got, and these companies do, they've got a million SKUs, half a million SKUs. That's a lot of stuff to search for, isn't it, Arby?
Right, exactly. And a lot of times there are different terms that are used to describe a SKU. And a lot of times the buyer might not even have any idea what to describe it. And they need an image, a picture of the part or product in order to describe it. And with AI, all of that is available now. You don't need to be a multi-billion dollar company to have access to that level of interaction with your customers today.
Or even, right, what the function is. I need a part that fits, you know, and they essentially describe its usage or the way it is, and it can be found. I don't have any clue what it is, but this is what I need.
Yes, right. That was not available 2 years ago, and now democratization, I love that term. That is something that the third generation, $30 million B2B parts warehouse can have access to. And their customers who would have no way of buying that product from them before can suddenly find it in an instant online and have it shipped overnight.
Well, and let's talk about one of the reasons that there's hesitation to do this in my clientele, Ari, right? A lot of these companies have always had reasonable, technically capable reps. And the way that that was always answered, right, is they'd call someone up, describe the problem, they'd search through their product catalog, right? I mean, when I started as engineer, that's how it was done, right? But a lot of these companies have kept that up, right? It's the way they've always operated. But here's the opportunity that I try to stress to the owners of these corporations, right? Because they're worried. Look, Larry has always been the expert. Larry doesn't want to hear about, you know, something that can replace him. We're not actually out to replace it, right? We use things to, you know, to pardon me, but use a real estate term, highest best use. And what we're able to do is take Larry out of the back room, put him forward facing with sales reps or to help categorize and do the work, right, that goes into customers being able to do self-service. And what does that do? It makes it faster. It puts the knowledge out of just Larry's head because we're facing, you know, a real crisis of the guys who have always done it. They don't want to be there forever.
Right? And they're
They're coming to the end of their career.
There's only one Larry, and you know when Larry's on the other line, the other guy has to wait, and he's impatient, so he just hangs up and go buys the part from someone else.
That's right, and the gray in my beard may indicate, but you know the truth is, the millennials are operating, and even the Gen Ys are taking over the purchasing decision jobs. They're taking over the buyer management jobs. They're right? I mean, a lot of guys have been successful in their careers, and now they're, you know, at a management level that doesn't really interact anymore. And these folks in this, they fully expect to sit there, pull up the phone, and be able to find what they're looking for. And if they don't, they're not finding. And we already covered that.
Yeah. right. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. Another capability in AI is the ability to fill in missing holes in a catalog, right? Yeah. There's a lot of legacy catalogs that just don't have an image, or the image is incorrect, or the description is wrong, or they've got an image of certain colors, but not all the colors. AI can actually fill in all of those as well, so that right there inside of, you know, the online catalog, you've got all of the data that you need, not just part of it. And that is, I think, you know, an expectation that everyone has nowadays, that all the information is always available, and we can fill it in with, you know, these language models that can interpret the catalog and fill in the holes.
No doubt, right? And a lot of our work, Ari, is really around master data management, taxonomy, trying to help clients fill in that data. Also, AI not only fills in that data, but it provides enrichment. You know, we call it enrichment around what are other terms, what are other ways to describe, how would someone else look for this information? And those kinds of enrichments, again, make it so that, you know, honestly, so that not only do people find, but it raises your conversion, right? Not only are they finding it, but they're recognizing that it is the right thing that they're looking for, because you have that completeness of information, which gives them the confidence to go ahead and buy it online, right? Whether that's through their typical purchase order or whatever they're doing, but you don't want to have someone hesitating saying, okay, I'm not really sure, let me go look at a variety of other things. Whereas if they can have the confidence that you're providing exactly what they're looking for, it speeds up transactions, right?
Yeah. Well, this next generation of buyers that are accustomed to doing everything off of the cell phone and having it delivered the next day from Amazon or parachuted out from a drone in their backyard or something like that are most certainly going to change the way that things work. But I think that very quickly there's going to be even another set of expectations where in addition to sort of a keyword type search on Amazon, you're going to expect to have a dialogue and intelligence on the other side that you just tell it what your goal is.
Yeah.
And it figures out how you can get there, which products you need to buy, fills up your shopping cart for you. You know, I need to fix the gearbox in this tractor, and here's the quick picture of it. And it's like, all right, here's the five parts. That one is clearly broken in the picture, and I can't see these other four, so you need me to check those. All of that is going to be expected in, I think, the very quick future, in 5 years, literally.
Yeah. With the power of AI in search, actually, I think you make a great point. We're going to be able to bring in materials that are beyond just the purchase, right? So you've got instructional video, you've got the photographs, you've got drawings, and actually giving answers to the problem. I agree with you, right? And that level of service, by the way, I think is a differentiator for the SMB market to keep their clients, right? I mean, look, you don't always want to compete on price. And as a distributor, so often you do, right? But distributor margins are relatively thin, right? Being able to provide a better service is a differentiator that will keep your customers, make them satisfied, and want to come to you first. And often, the first guy you go to, he's got the right price, he did a good job, and you're happy. There's not a lot of reason to go look at anybody else.
Yep. And I think that the ROI is going to be relatively easy for most business owners, especially in the B2B space, to calculate. And I think they were a little bit challenged on the first round or an earlier round of going online, where it's like, okay, I'm going to have this online catalog, but everyone calls me and faxes in the order anyways, and they know their part and so forth. But now, without a huge price point, you're going to be able to quickly connect the dots between, if I add this capability, I'm going to be able to make all these parts that have been stuck in the warehouse for the last 20 years sometimes available, because no one even knows they're there or that they need them. But now the site's going to be able to be prescriptive and advise.
Well, you know, you make a good point around knowing what's there, right? I talked about we have an inventory project. Well, it's not only optimizing inventory, inventory, but what is your dead inventory? And what is it actually costing you? So what we can get out of AI is a much smarter answer, right? Faster, instantaneously around, look, if this inventory isn't moving, this is what it's costing you because you haven't got enough space for what is moving, right? Do you dump it? Do you provide a sale? What do you do? But you've got to get rid of it. Likewise, what's going well? How do I optimize the sale out of something that's clearly selling and it's outside of seasonality, right? How many SMBs, especially on that smaller side, really have the bandwidth to regularly calculate weekly, daily, hourly, what's happening in their warehouse and what the value is for them to sell now versus hold versus and the next thing is, what is the price calculation? What is that going to do around margin, right? So one of the things we built for a customer is being able to serve up highest margin parts first. So when you do a search, you provide the exact, right? If I will give you exactly what you've asked for, but next to it for your consideration is a slightly lower priced OEM that has a much higher margin for our client. And suddenly we have a match, right? A little less price, same functionality, higher margin, everybody's happy.
Yeah, that is wonderful. I love that, right? So search results should be sorted with all sorts of different algorithms and criteria, and gross margin is a huge one that the distributor, especially with those razor thin margins, needs to optimize.
Absolutely. And in my opinion, right, you look at what Amazon does, right? And honestly, they're the benchmark. Because here's the thing. I go to B2C events, like I was just at Shop Talk. And I go there because now they're not a 100% similar business. I get that. But they are pushing faster on a service-oriented methodology than we are in B2B. And I go look at those things. And if you think about it, in my opinion, the right way to present a search is, one, give them exactly what they want. Don't play games. Give them exactly what they want. But also give them options to consider on whatever criteria you might want. But if you look at Amazon, they have similar items where you punch it up and there'll be, you know, a grid full of things that they are what you searched for and you can select from them. And what it does is it sparks thought on your buyer's side that says, oh, I hadn't considered that. That would be a perfect match, even though I searched for something else.
Yeah. You know, we spend a lot of money and time trying to attract people to a site. Part of that is building up a brand and building long-term customer relationships in the B2B space, especially. But once you have them there, now you got to do something really interesting with them, or else you just wasted all that time and money getting them to come to the site in the first place.
Absolutely. I think one of the major ROI of search driven by AI is this. You can increase the traffic to your website 1%, and that's great. You will see your money go up. But if you change the conversion on your website by 1%, you will get a multiple better return than all the money you're throwing at SEO.
Exactly, right? Staggering. If you go from 5% to 6%, that's a 20% increase in revenue.
Correct. Correct. The change is massive. And I think this has been overlooked in B2B because there's this mindset of, well, they're going to buy what they're going to buy. It's on a schedule. No, I think that on the flip side, let's think about how your customers are using AI, right? They're looking for when do they buy? I mean, I have a commodity market client, right? And their customers are thinking about what's the best time to buy because the price is low now. Not because of what they're going to do to inventory, but because I want to buy now. It's out of cycle, right? It's not when big demand is. But what they're doing is they're doing their own analysis of how do they handle their margins? How are they handling their customers? And they are typically larger, you know, larger companies that have been doing this for a while. I think the customers need to really think about, it's not just AI is on your side of the fence. It's being used and you better be able to reply.
Yeah. Well, I expect that we're going to see a ton of AI projects in the next 2 or 3 years. And one part of that is going to be able to help people do that ROI analysis and to make sure that they can do the math and recognize the real return. There are certainly instances, and Ridgeline has customers that are motivated to bring some of our AI products into their website just to improve their own resume, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And to say, I just have to do something with AI right now. I'm not sure what the ROI is. And that's fine and that's great. And we do an ROI analysis with them and help them justify it regardless. But a lot of them, and this is not a new trend, need to see the math. They need to see the numbers before they can actually write the check and launch the project.
Well, we have a couple of ways of approaching that, Ari, right? One is to do a proof of concept. Define a problem, right, that's tackleable in a smaller budget and prove out the benefit of doing it before you make a large expenditure or larger, right? Again, I think people will be surprised at the price tags. But that said, proving it out is important. And, you know, my business partner and I have always had the philosophy of we'll earn your business. Let us do a POC. We'll show you what's in there, right? The second thing is paralysis by analysis, right? Mm. So here's what I'm talking about. I have a couple clients I can immediately think of, right, that are just spinning their wheels because they're looking for the perfect. And, you know, looking for the perfect misses out on the next step of great. Great is good, right? And here's what I think about that, right? The old classic Schrodinger's box. So I'm trying to decide, is the cat dead or is the cat alive? Well, it's both, because the truth is I don't know. Now, if I can crack open the box for you with a little POC, you now have more information. And you will find out through a small effort more than you will by hiring a ton of experts to look at something without any inside data. Because AI is driven by data, not what we think. The answers can be surprising. And sitting there and hiring everyone to sit there and hypothesize is just expensive. For the amount you spend on a consultant to tell you what they think will happen, we can get in there, Ari. We can apply a situation, and I'll tell you if the cat is dead or alive. Simple, right? And then you can go to all the other black boxes you've got all over the place and figure out, is this worth cracking open the boxes? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. But it happens through data. It doesn't happen through human analysis. That's the whole point of AI.
Yeah. That's great, right? And nowadays, there's so many platforms for doing A-B testing and really evaluating right. these different systems. You can just start off very incrementally, try a little something, see which works better, and keep on adding to it rather than having this waterfall model of reinventing the whole world on day one and spending $1 billion before you can see what happens.
Absolutely, right? So until you test something, until you try something, all you're doing in all honesty is guessing. Because without that data and beginning to incrementally make change, right? That's the difference between, you know, really looking at something in a holistic manner by pieces, or are you just trying to examine, right, without examining the patient, right? It just doesn't make sense to me, right? When you can very cost effectively, quickly find out, come up with an ROI, and decide if it's right for you.
Shifting gears just a little bit, in terms of segments, of industry segments that you're seeing starting to move on bringing AI into their business model, and I guess, you know, that we want to put a little bit of a bug in the head of everybody else in that segment. It's like, you guys better get on the stick because we're seeing movement. What do you, who are the earlier movers that you're running into?
Yeah. So in this segment, right, what I'm seeing is distributors are putting their foot in and they're reaping rewards, right? So we're working on putting a case study together with results. But what's happening is distributors are squeezed. And how do they provide value, right? You've got disintermediation happening. The manufacturer wants to go D2C. What's the value add of a distributor, right? And MDM, right, just came out with this little paper and webinar called about the value of data. Well, what better way to find and extract data than using an AI to go mine it and figure out what to do? So one, it's distributors. Second, it's small manufacturer distributors trying to improve, right, how they're using data and what their customer experience is. And the third area that we're finding some really great traction in, right, is anyone with really hard to describe or technical parts. Now, those are often manufacturers, but they can even be service organizations in the sense of, you know, what am I looking for? And it's very, very tight. So if you're in some sort of market where you need to provide an uptick in service, you need to provide a value add, or you're looking, right, for some way for people to actually work with you in such a way that they can find things and you provide that extra value to them, I think those are places that need to consider it. Our specialization is, of course, B2B. And so it's, you know, SMB manufacturers, distributors, some pharma, a little CPG. But I think those are areas that are great. I did want to bring in one other quick thoughts, right? Uh-huh. So here's some innovative ideas that we've been working on. You talked about image recognition. Image recognition is a major milestone for anyone with a technical piece like pharma. What's the chemical formula like? I get that that's private IP. We can keep things private. But being able to go and search by photo, I need this chain, is huge. Or for another one of our distributors that sell into retailers, reordering by just taking a picture of the item. Take a picture, you're reordered. Just picture, quantity, done. Picture, quantity, done. Making it easy, right? It's all about making it easy.
Yeah. And especially when you're in the field and you've got the equipment right in front of you and you need to just very quickly with one hand be able to reorder that part.
Yeah.
Another common use case that I see is when people are, when their customers frequently need, I guess what I'll describe as a basket of goods, where there is a washer and a gear and, you know, two or three things that are commonly needed together. And their customer might not realize that they carry all of those parts, or they just have built a habit of always getting certain parts from one distributor and others from another. But then when the site is intelligent enough to realize what your goal is, what you're trying to do, and say, hey, listen, you know, why don't you buy this bundle?
Yep.
Now you've increased your average order value.
Exactly. And I'll give you a discount for the bundle, right? And by the way, you were going to figure out you needed it anyways.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You want to, like, come back tomorrow because you forgot part XYZ? How about we just get it all right now? And by the way, you're going to get a little bit of a discount and you'll save on shipping because it's all coming together.
I know we're short on time, but one last quick one. Last mile delivery, right? How do you stock, and at what level do you stock or repeat order for, you know, I don't know, telephone linemen, you know, service people? They may, what's getting popular is these little lockers where these people go back, they get their common used parts, right? And then they take them away. Well, what's the reorder process? What's the smartest way? How are we handling seasonality? All, a lot of math comes into it, right? And boom, AI can use the most up-to-date data and get all of those taken care of. There's business models that are changing because of this.
You know what? Here's an interesting business model. When your system is able to recognize trends and create a subscription model with your customer, whereas before it was always just-in-time delivery and all this stuff. It's like, how about we get ahead of just-in-time and create a subscription? And they'll always have whatever part it is that they end up ordering every month anyways.
And with AI, you could do a variable subscription. It's exactly what you need.
Yeah.
Not just the same part every day, you know? Not just my old Wisconsin cheese sticks.
Holy cow, let's go buy a small B2B company and transform it. We'll make a mint.
Yes.
It's hard to say that this is my cue to hop in and thank you guys, because I know it. You really hit on so many good points, just on how AI is changing business models left and right. But I know we're at time, and I really don't want to stop the conversational train here. But really quick, Rob, for those who are not familiar with CSS Commerce or want to learn more about, you know, everything that you've shared, do you mind just sharing, you know, how people can get in touch with you, or how can they best reach out?
Not at all, and I appreciate it, Victoria. I've had a ton of fun. So we're at CSS Commerce, right, for business.com. And my email, it'll get to me personally, Rob, R-O-B, at CSS Commerce. I'll answer you personally. I'm here. I got ideas, and they're free.
Oh, that's phenomenal. And we will be sure to include that in the show notes going out as well. But thank you guys both. This is I love a good energetic podcast. You nailed it. So thanks for those who joined in, and we will see you again next time.